So I give you permission to slap your neighbor if you're sleeping. Okay, there you go. It's bad. One of the guys came up to me from my church, said, "You have to wake me up this morning." I said, "Man, that's not what I'm here for." But we hope the presence of the Lord comes and He moves and He really works in our hearts in this service this morning. We're going to turn to the book of Revelation, chapter number 5. Now I'm going to do something to you just to make sure you're awake. If you found it, I want you to stand together for the reading of the Word. We're going to read the whole chapter of Revelation chapter 5. It's only about 14 verses here. But let's pay attention here as we get into the Word of the Lord this morning. It says, "And I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book written within on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, were able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And John said, 'I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hath redeemed us unto God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the 4 beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped Him that liveth forever and ever." I'm going to try to preach to us this morning for a little bit on worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Let's bow our heads. Let's ask the Lord to have His way in this service this morning. Dear Lord, we love You this morning. We thank You for Your presence that we've felt in these services. As You've come by and You've moved through the singing, through the preaching, and these altar services, dear God. We thank You, God, for what You're doing in hearts and lives and how You're making us into Your image. And I pray this morning once again that You would visit us with Your Holy Ghost and power, that You would move among us and You would take our hearts and make them and mold them into what You would have them to be, and help us today to recognize exactly who You are and what You are capable of doing in our lives and the change that You can accomplish, because You are worthy this morning. And we'll give You the praise and glory for it. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Amen. You may be seated. As we read the first verse of Revelation chapter 5, we see here that it says, "And I saw in the right hand of Him who sat upon the throne a book written within on the backside, sealed with 7 seals." And whenever in the Bible, in the New Testament, it opens with this word "and," it's the Greek word "k," it's translated "and." But it means you have to go back to the previous chapter because they're connected. You've got to look at, put it in proper context. So you go back to chapter 4 here. and you see something that begins to unfold as the Word of God tells us in the first part of that chapter that there's a door opened in heaven, and John is caught up. He said, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and he finds himself at the throne room of God. He begins to describe him who sits upon the throne, and there's 24 thrones around it and 24 elders sitting upon those thrones, and there's a four beast, and he begins to describe all these things that are going on, and at the end of the chapter they begin to say, worthy, for you're worthy because thou hast created all things, and then we get into chapter 5 and it begins to focus on the hand of God, and it goes to a scroll, if you will. It says a book. But it's more accurately understood as maybe a scroll of types. And it was sealed with seven seals on the outside. It was written on the front and on the back. And when we understand here that it talks about, it says that John wept much in verse 2 and 3. And he says, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seal thereof. And it says, no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. You begin to wonder, why is John weeping? What is it so important about this scroll or this book, if you will? What is so important about it? It's evident at the outside that this scroll is intensely related to the human race, for angelic beings are excluded from opening it. Instead, the angel is looking for a human being that would have the right to open that book and to loose the seals thereof. So we can conclude that it has something to do with human beings and their relationship to the earth and the home of the human race. And we see that it's important because it does say that John wept when he realized that no one was worthy to open this book. And the heart of John was just ripped in half. It wasn't just because his curiosity couldn't be satisfied. It wasn't just because he wanted to know, so he's crying about it. But no, his tears, they have a far deeper meaning, because this book represented something to John. This book represents something to us this morning. And it's a valuable thing here that is very important for us. And for all intents and purposes, I'm going to get to this quickly. The seven sealed scroll represents the title deed to the earth. You can go back and look in Jewish customs. You read Jeremiah 32, 9 through 12. You'll see how the procedures that take place when a piece of property was bought, they would sign it on the front and the back, and they would seal it with seven seals. And it represented that title deed to that property. And Jeremiah 32, you'll read that as right as about to go into captivity, this land is purchased. And it was a prophecy by Jeremiah. He was saying, in effect, someday the heirs of my family will come back and claim this inheritance. It represented the title deed to that property that he had purchased. And it was sealed with seven seals. So here, for all intents and purposes, this is what this book was. The angel was looking for someone who was worthy to redeem the earth and its inhabitants, to redeem them unto God once again, because you go back to the book of Genesis and you see the earth dominion was given to man by God. God told them to subdue and replenish the earth, but because of sin, man lost what God intended to be his. In effect, man handed what was his that God had desired to be his, and he handed it over to the enemy. And so John weeps because he knows that this scroll represents the title deed to the earth, and that as long as it is left sealed, Satan will remain in control of the earth. We know that the Apostle Paul said, you know, he's the prince of the power of the air. Not to say that Satan is the god of this world. We know the scripture talks about that. But he has taken control of it because man has chosen to submit himself unto sin. So here we see here that John waits because he knows it's important that someone be able to redeem the earth and its inhabitants out of the hands of the enemy. There has to be someone that is worthy. You see, in the law of redemption, you'll see it in the book of Ruth, the year of Jubilee prevented an individual from being alienated from their land. And when that year came, everyone received again what was theirs. Slaves were set free, and they began to claim back their inheritance. And we see in the book of Ruth, we see the story of Naomi and Ruth as they come back to to Judah, and they had need to claim back what is theirs, but they need a kinsman redeemer. They need someone that is able to buy it back. It couldn't just be anyone, but it had to be someone that had the rights that could redeem that property and those people to redeem them back, which was rightfully theirs. It had to be someone. There were qualifications necessary to buy back that property. The one that was to open this book in Revelation had to be worthy, and he had to be able. He had to have both the right and the might to open the seals of the book. He had to be worthy, and he had to be able to release the seals and to purchase back that possession. Revelations 5, 2, and 3. And we read that, how that he says, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming, who is worthy? And it says there was no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, who was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And you see here that the angel, he's not looking, you know, he's looking for a man. We just said this a minute ago. He can't go to an angel, because the one who redeems it has to be of a relationship to mankind. The angels of heaven cannot redeem man because they're not of the seed of man. The kinsman redeemer had to be a relative, a close relative, to redeem that property. They had to have that relationship to mankind. And as we said, he had to have the ability to possess it. And we see here that this angel looks all throughout heaven. He can find no one that is worthy, that's pure enough, that's righteous enough, that is able and has the right to buy back this property. So John begins to weep as he looks and he says, you know, there's nobody that can redeem mankind. There seems to be no one that is worthy. But then we see that one of the 24 elders comes up to him and says, John, don't weep, because the line of the tribe of Judah, oh, the offering, the root of David, have prevailed to open the book and to release the seals thereof. There is someone that has the right and has the might to redeem mankind from the clutches of sin. There is someone, there is a redeemer that is here this morning that could set us free. The lion, the lamb, that is worthy. We get into chapter, verse 5 and 6, and it says, one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. It says, and behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And so we see here that this is something interesting. We're going to get into this. It's a lion that looks like a lamb. We see the 24 elder, one of them came to me and said, you know, the lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. And I'm going to get to this in just a minute, but there are five characteristics of the Lord that are revealed here. First of all, he is the lion of the tribe of Judah. The name of our Lord are never given by accident, but they always convey a part of his nature. And since a lion, we know in the animal kingdom, he's the king of beasts, and Judah is the ruling tribe of Israel. This indicates that Christ is to come as king to reign over human affairs. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the root of David. Goes back to the very fact that he is of the seed of Adam. He is a man, and he has the right to that property, being God but also being man. He is of the root of David. It says, a lamb looking as it had been slain. And when Christ completed the work of redemption, he earned the title deed to the earth. And as by Adam, the word of God says, came sin. But by Christ, this morning we have redemption. It is a beautiful picture that we see here. Even though he referred to him, we see this elder refer to him in his glory as a lion, and indicating his power and might. John sees him as a sacrificial lamb. For John sees him through the eyes of faith. Those who reject Christ will see him as a lion when he comes to judge and reign over them. But those who believe in him will see him as their sacrificial lamb. Today, we can see him as that lion. I'm thankful he's the King of kings, but I'm more grateful that that he is my sacrifice, that he is my redeemer. I can see him today as the one who has purchased me back. The lion that looked like a lamb. We also said it had seven horns. Brother Swinney referred to this yesterday. It denotes strength and power. And we know that when Christ came the first time, he came as a sacrifice. But next time, he's not coming to die. He's coming to rule and to reign with the rod of iron. He's coming back as a King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha, the Omega, to take back what is rightfully his, to establish his kingdom. He's coming back as a king. It says also that he had seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. These eyes speak of the judgment of our Lord, including the seven characteristics of the Holy Spirit. You see in Isaiah 11:2, and it talks about the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So he begins to describe what he sees here. As he looks at him that sits upon the throne. And we begin to look at this. Brother, we talked about that lion and that lamb. That lamb refers to his first coming. But the lion refers to his second coming. We know that lamb, he spoke of meekness. But the lion speaks of his majesty. As a lamb, he was our Savior. And he is our Savior. But as a lion, he is sovereign. As a lamb, he is judge. But as a lion, he is the judge. The lamb speaks of the grace of God. And the lion speaks of the government and the judgment of God. The lion that looks like a lamb, today he is worthy of all the glory and all the honor. But why is he worthy this morning is what I want to ask you. Why is he worthy today? We see that these elders, they declared it in verse 9 and 10. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign upon the earth. He said, you're worthy because you were slain, because your blood hath redeemed us. And today, church, there's something we got to understand. If it wasn't for him, we'd be just beggars. But today we are made kings and priests with our God. Today you don't have to come into this service with your head down saying, well, I've made so many mistakes, there's no hope for me. I'm here to tell you this morning that he hath redeemed us by his blood, and we are kings and priests unto God. We're not beggars. We're sons of the King. We're children of the Most High God. And he is worthy, for he has redeemed us by his blood. It doesn't matter where you come from. Every kindred, every tribe, and every tongue. It doesn't matter. He has desired to redeem you from the clutches of sin. This morning he is worthy, and he is all powerful today. You know, we live in a generation where men, they mock God. They teach evolution in our schools. Our society has become, in a lot of forms, humanistic and atheistic. They deny the power of God. You know, they'll say, you know, I believe in Jesus. He was a good man. He did some good things. He was a good teacher. But this morning, you can't have it both ways. As C.S. Lewis, he wrote in this book, he's either Lord, lunatic, or a liar. When he was on this earth, he didn't just come and teach good things, but he said that he was God. He claimed deity. He didn't just come and teach good little things for us to see and tell little stories, but he declared that he was the Son of God. And this morning, he's either Lord or he's a liar. You know what? He walked upon this earth. He healed the sick. He raised the dead.
He did all these wonderful things. And you can say, well, he's just a good guy. But no, he's either Lord or he's a lunatic. He's either King of Kings and Lord of Lords, or he's none of the above. He is powerful this morning. And I begin to think about this, and we hear this discussion going on a lot of times in the public schools. I know you deal with it. A lot of people, some of the young people in my group, they go to public school and begin to tell me some of the things that they are taught at school. But you know something I was taught? If you want to know something about someone, you ask someone that is the closest to them. You ask someone that knows them better than anyone else. If I want to know something, if you want to know something about me, you don't go to just one of the guys that's not even in my dorm and say, what do you know about Brother Andrew Goodwin? You know, tell me all about him. He'll tell you a little bit, but he doesn't really know me. You come to my wife, you come to my family, you'd ask them, you know, what about this man? What is it? What does he believe? And here we look here, and we see something here today that begins to stand out to me as we see the angels tell us a little bit about him. Verse 11 and 12, they didn't say, well, he's all right guy, you know, he's pretty good, but there's nothing to him. But I read in 11 and 12 of this chapter, it says, and behold, and I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 to thousands of thousands. And they saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. The angels declare this morning that he's worthy. He's worthy of every bit of our adoration. He's worthy of every bit of power and of strength and of glory and of might. They dwell in his presence day and night. And they declare to us today, he is worthy. He is deity. He is God. He is the King of Kings. And he is the Lord of Lords. They don't look at him and belittle him, but they stand in awe of him day and night. And this morning, if you want to know God is real, why don't you look to the testimony of the angels? Because they declare that he is worthy. Oh, praise the Lord. But that's not it. I read in verse 13. And it says, every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I sing, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sat up upon the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. These verses, it almost seems like a second stanza of the song of the heavenly host. And they carried John beyond the tribulation, beyond the glorious appearing to the end of the millennium, to the time of the great white throne judgments, when every living creature will worship him. And the passage of Scripture should be studied in connection with Philippians 2. It says, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know what? They may mock him today, but they're going to bow tomorrow. They may deny him today, but one day they're going to declare that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This morning you may sit there, well, I don't really believe in this God. I'm not willing to surrender myself to him. I'm not willing to bow down before him. But let me tell you something, if you don't do it today, you're going to do it tomorrow. You might as well let's take this opportunity to recognize that he is King, that he is Lord, Lord, and that he is able. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. He is worthy to open the book. He is worthy to redeem us. He is worthy of our adoration. And I believe this morning, all of us here today, we would say, you know, worthy is the Lamb. We'll say, yes, I believe that he is worthy. But if he is worthy this morning, my question to us that sit in this room today is, why don't we act like it? If he is worthy, why don't we live like it? If he is worthy, why don't we witness like he is worthy? Why don't we worship like he is worthy? Why don't we pray like he is worthy? We say here today, yes, I believe he's worthy, and it's time to live it out. It's time to act like it. You know, this is what the Lord really burdened on my heart. So I was getting ready for this service, and it's that some young people here today, they come to this camp. They've got a lot of situations going on in their life, and you sit through all these services. The Spirit of God moving on other people, but you made up your mind that there's nobody that can change my situation. That there's nobody that can change what's going on in my life. It's too bad. Nobody can make a difference. There's no one that can turn this around. I have so many problems. No one can make a difference. You're crying on the inside. You've come here weeping. Maybe everyone can't see it, but on the inside you're tore up. Your heart is broken. Your spirit is broken. You say, brother, I can never be anything for God. I come from this type of situation, and you don't know what my home life is like. You don't know what I face every day. You don't understand what I'm going through, and there's just no one that can help me. We read a chapter here. It starts out with John weeping, but it ends with all creation worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And my declaration to you today is here. You may come here weeping, but you can leave here worshiping because he is worthy. Oh, Brother Goodwin, I don't know. I'm so hard. I'm going through so many things. I don't think anybody can help me out. There's no one that's worthy. There's no one that has the right or the power to set me free. But I'm here to declare to you that worthy is the Lamb. That there's someone here this morning that has both the right and the might to set you free. There's someone here this morning that not only knows your need, but he knows how to break the chains that bind you, that knows how to set you free from the things that confine you, and you think there's no hope. But today, worthy is the Lamb. He's not just some God that sits on a throne a universal way, but he is one that came and he died that he might redeem us by his blood. I want us to stand together. Someone come to the piano. Bow our heads. Let's close our eyes this morning. I just feel the Lord wants me to tell you today, don't sell out the blood of Jesus. Don't take it lightly because it is powerful. And it is able. Jesus is prophesied of Christ, and he read it as he stood in the synagogue. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel, the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And I know within my heart this morning that there's some young people that are under the sound of my voice. In the midst of everyone else shouting and praising the Lord, you've sat there, and I've seen some of you with this look on your face of hopelessness, of despair. And like John, you're weeping on the inside. Say, no one can help me. But today, Jesus is here. I want to ask you today, if you say, Brother Andrew, I'm who you're talking to. I've been really down. I haven't got in because I didn't think God could help me. But this morning, I want him to do a move in my heart. And I want to let him change my situation. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. Every head bowed, every eye closed, Brother Andrew. I'm really going through a struggle. I'm going through a battle. No one else knows what I'm facing. Every head bowed, every eye closed, young people. And you raise your hand this morning and say, I need God to change my situation. I need that lamb which was slain. Yes, I see those hands. To come right now and to work in my life. I need someone to redeem me, to forgive me, to cleanse me, to give me hope once again. And I believe the Lord would say to us this morning that in the midst of that hurricane you find yourself in, there is hope because of the blood of Jesus. This morning, if you raised your hands or if you just feel the Lord dealing with you, I want us to gather around these altars this morning. Let's just cry out to Him. Because today He is able. He has both the right and the might to set you free, young person. You don't have to live in bondage any longer. You don't have to keep fighting that addiction and going through that battle because Jesus Christ is able to set you free. He's able to take you today from a place of despair and weeping and leave here with your hands raised, being free to worship Him because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's call Him out to Him this morning, young people. Let God do a work in these altars. Let God touch your hearts. Let God move in your situation.